Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? Hey, Five Tribe. Today's episode is all about dealing with disappointment. And if you're a human on Earth, you have likely come across a disappointment or two in your life. So today I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like I can help you as a listener to kind of get through whatever disappointment you're having today. And with me always is my co-host, Kat. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm doing good. I'm actually a little overwhelmed today. I saw someone on Instagram call this Maycember. We are... recording this in May, and if you're a parent, you know that May is a really busy month. There's all these like end of the year wrap up things, school activities, and they're all hitting on the same day. So I'm over here just fighting for my life in Maycember, but other than that, pretty good.
Good. We chose this topic today because it's something we all deal with. Most of us deal with this in one way or another almost daily. I hate to say it, but I mean, It can be little disappointments or big disappointments. Obviously, nobody's going to come listen to a podcast episode because it's dealing with the fact that there's no milk for your cereal as a disappointment, but there are bigger life disappointments that happen. But when it comes to disappointment, we have to really look at what it is. So How would you define disappointment, or like if you're, you know, if I'm an alien coming to Earth for the first day and you're like, this is what disappointment is, what would you say?
Hello, alien. I would say, honestly, disappointment is unmet expectations. And we have talked about expectations. I think we even have an episode like, it's like the number one relationship killer. Like,
yes,
we all can try as hard as we want to not have any expectations, but it's when you hope for something or you want something or you expect something and you don't get it. That's what it means to me. What would you say?
I would say it sucks. No, I'm just kidding. As the alien. No, I think when I truly think about what disappointment is it's exactly that. I mean, expectations ruin us. I mean, and they're so vital at the same time to have moving forward. But yeah, I would say disappointment is when you think something is going to go a certain way, you have a vision of how it's meant to be, and that vision doesn't come to reality, or worse, it gets decimated for whatever reason, whether it's a small thing like, you know, wanting to have a good day at work, or a large thing like, you know, like a relationship ending or losing a somebody you care about. You know, you have these ideas of how things are going to be, and now it's not that way. And what I try to do with this is, first of all, you know, you got to normalize it a little bit. Like, disappointment is going to happen. The big ones have emotions attached to them. Let's not go so far into that right now, but let's just go like daily disappointments happen. And if you're experiencing those on a day-to-day basis, it might be because you're trying to control too much.
Yeah. We are, the people who feel the most disappointment are the people who are trying to control outcomes, or they are trying to shift and change and mold things to be the way that they want them, that are outside of themselves. So this is a reminder that we can only control what's inside of ourselves, and that this is a normal emotion. And it's very common for people to want to avoid the emotions that don't feel as good as the other ones. I know a big thing that older generations say about my generation, millennials, is that we try to make our kids not feel any pain or disappointment, where we kind of coddle them. And so it is very challenging to not only learn how to deal and sit with that feeling of disappointment when you experience it, man, when you see your kids experience it too, it's just, you feel it magnified. And it's so hard because, I mean, I don't know the right thing to do, but from what I hear, you have to let kids feel it. They have to learn how to manage some of these harder feelings. They have to know that they're going to feel disappointment again. They have to get practice with these emotions because they're going to keep coming up, and trying to fix it and make it all better for them is the tendency, but I know it doesn't serve them in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've talked before about bubble wrapping kids and everything to protect them from the evils of the world, so to speak, or the hardships, but that doesn't serve them in the end. It helps in the moment, but it doesn't serve them in the long term, because we have to find our resilience. And that's really what disappointment is. In a sense, it's an opportunity to find resilience.
Mm,
I would also say, going back to the if you're experiencing a lot of disappointment and you're trying to control outcomes, you're likely doing that. There's probably a deeper reason for that. And without getting too much into it, usually we try to control outcomes because we want to feel safe. That's a normal human response to life is, you know, something bad could happen. So I'm going to just go this way to work every day because nobody else goes on it. Suddenly, you know, it's backed up with traffic and I'm disappointed. It's kind of small, but you have to understand that in this life, you're here to learn and grow. And if you are being disappointed on an ongoing basis, you probably have really high expectations for everything in your life. And that's likely a safety mechanism. And your safety mechanism might be like at a full 100%. And this is coming from a personal 100%er at one point who is learning over the years to, like, you know, get those expectations down to nothing, really. Because the ideal state with disappointment is when you can look at it at the end and go, this was meant to happen for a reason. I'll find that reason. Harder to do than easier said than done. So maybe we can just talk about things that we tell ourselves that don't help when we have disappointment.
Yeah. Well, I think any time that you personalize disappointment is when it really stings, right? We recently coached somebody who got laid off, and it's really hard to not take that personally. Right? Because you automatically, again, human tendency, automatically think it means something about you or your performance. You're like, did I do everything I could? Should I have not called out that one time? When really, it's likely that it was, you know, part of a company-wide decision, you know, laying off 10% of the workforce, you know, bottom line type of stuff. It's not personal, right? Or, I'm trying to think of other things. I mean, really simple things that a lot of people experience, you know, like not making it onto a team, you know, when your kid doesn't make it onto a team, not getting the client work that you want. What amplifies, what'd you say?
I was going to say, not getting the reactions you want to the things that you were doing. So, you know, like giving a gift to somebody and going like, I expect you to love this. And they, you know, they're not in a frame of mind of receiving something. And they're like, oh, thanks. And you're like, I just spent 100 hours thinking, planning, coordinating this, and I got a thanks. And that hurts. But again, that's the expectation coming in.
That's right. So I feel like people can improve those harder feelings of disappointment by not adding on to it the personalization of it, because then you just amplify the disappointment. Now you're into self-loathing, and it just, you know, then you get all spirally. Mm. And so I do think that when you add that on, it makes it worse.
Yeah. So here's some common responses that'll happen internally when you get disappointed. You could shame yourself. You could say, I should have known better. I could have done better. This is all my fault. Again, that negative self-talk. Spiraling is something that you and I have both dealt with in the past, which is like, you get disappointed and you're like, nothing ever goes my way. This isn't.
It's why does,
like,
this always happen to me?
Why does this always happen to me? And that's another one. Another one that is, in my mind, worse is shoving it down, where you just like, okay, not a big deal. And you're like, and you feel this, like, even as I said that, I felt like that tension in my body. I'm like, no, it's a big deal. But I'm like, I'm just not going to face this. So shoving it down doesn't hurt, because you're just going to have to deal with it later. And it might come out at a wrong point against someone else. And that's not what we want. And then the last one, of course, is avoiding, where you jump to the next thing without actually processing it, which you got to process it. You got to go through the action of going, yeah, this isn't the way I would like it to be, but maybe there's something better coming for me. Maybe I was meant to learn a lesson in this that I haven't been learning. And we coach people a lot through that, because we often find people's patterns repeat themselves. So if somebody comes to us saying, I'm experiencing a lot of disappointment, we'll examine their beliefs, we'll examine their internal dialogue, because those are the things that are really causing the disappointment, not the actual external event, but a reaction.
Yeah, I think that it's really common for people to keep inside when other people disappoint them. When we disappoint ourselves, we'll like internally just destroy ourselves. And like, I know that I am a recovering perfectionist. Still haven't said recovered on the podcast, because still working on it. You know, I am really hard on myself, and I'll beat myself up better than anyone else could. But one thing that I have challenging with, again, a sort of the perfectionist, people-pleasing type, is letting someone else know when they've disappointed me. And this can be really hard when it's someone you're close to, your loved ones, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, even your children. A lot of times it can be the tendency to kind of push it down to try to keep the peace. But let's say you have a friend who's constantly late or who constantly reschedules. You can push it down to not stir the pot or anything, or you can try your best to lovingly say, "Hey, I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot going on, but I just want to let you know that every time you reschedule, it's disappointing and it's sort of hurting our relationship because now I just assume that you're going to reschedule every time. It's kind of hurting our trust." For some people, that could cause the friendship to end, right? But in my opinion, then they didn't value your time or how great of a friend you are anyway. So I do like to encourage people to kind of speak their truth in as loving a way as they can, because it's more important to get those negative feelings out of your body than it is to keep it in and let it fester. You can tell your parents, "Hey, it disappoints me when you're late to my events. It disappoints me when I invite you to my kids' play and you didn't show up." You can't make people do the things you want them to do, but you can express your feelings and ask for a change. Doesn't mean you're going to get it, but at least gives you agency and gets the feeling outside of you.
I like that. And yeah, and that's a really hard thing to do. I think a lot of us are trained just to keep the peace because, yeah, I mean, what happens if I say that to my friend and they're like, "Well, then, you know, screw you, we're not friends anymore." And they won't, usually most people won't say it like that. You just will never hear from them again.
Yeah.
And again, it's how you choose to look at it. I think as you were saying this, the phrase that came into my mind was, "I'm not upset, I'm just disappointed." And if really want to cut anybody really, really badly, and everybody, if you're listening to this right now, dear listener, and you're like, "Oh, that hurt."
Everybody's like, "Yeah."
Oh my gosh. But let's unpack it from the other side. Okay. So Catherine comes to me and says, "I'm not upset. I'm disappointed. I'm just disappointed." I could barely say it the second time because it's just so intense. So one way to handle it is to look at it and go, "Okay, clearly I may have missed the mark with something." Another way of looking at it is going, "I can't meet somebody's expectations if I don't know them." Mm. I don't know what this person is needing. I don't know what I'm meant to do to this. And a lot of times when somebody is disappointed in us, it's because there hasn't been a clear definition of what they want or need in that moment. You know, if you don't tell somebody, "It's really important for me that you come to my show tonight or to my exhibit or my play or dance or whatever," they're not going to know. And a lot of people actually need that invitation because that's their personality type. They assume that they're not invited. Most people are very isolated these days. So if you don't specifically say to someone, "Hey, I would really like it for you to come to this thing or to invite me, you know, or invite me over or whatever, have reciprocal friendship, whatever it is you need," they're not going to know. And you're always going to be disappointed. So sometimes with friends, yeah, you got to say like, "You know, I'm here on time every day because that's how I value your friendship. And, you know, maybe you can show me how you value mine, because my expectation is that you would also be on time," which is that. Catherine and I are always on time for each other, just for the record, for anybody listening.
My gosh, but, I'm like,
yeah, it's a big thing for us.
So on time. This is something my friends notice about me too. I feel like being on time is just respectful of someone else, shows respect. But not everyone feels that way. And that's okay.
Are you feeling stuck in your life right now, kind of not sure where to go or what your next steps are? We've created a coaching program for you to help you discover your path, and we call it 5 weeks to Future You. What you'll get is 2-to-1 coaching with Catherine and I over 5 weeks while we help you figure out what the next steps are in your life. We offer a complimentary call. You just have to go to 5yearyou.com to check it out and set up your call with us to see if we're a good fit. I know from my own experience that it is incredibly hard to do this on your own. And that's why we're offering these coaching calls. We're only going to work with 5 people at a time to make sure that we can give you the attention that you truly deserve. So head on over to 5yearyou.com to get started.
You know, I have a good example because this is so hard to do. It seems like you could just like say your expectations. But this is actually something I am trying to work with the twins on in real time. I'll give you an example that just happened this morning. So I live in walking distance to the elementary school. Sometimes the twins ride their bike. Sometimes they walk. Sometimes they go with friends. Sometimes they go with me. So it's not like a set thing. So this morning, one wanted to ride their bike, and our youngest was like, I don't feel like riding my bike today. And I said, okay, what do you want on your walk to school? Do you want me to walk with you, or do you want to walk by yourself? And she immediately went into kind of a people-pleasing mode and was like, oh, no, you don't have to. And I know you have an article due today, and I know you got work to do today, and you don't have to. And so I just really calmly was like, okay, listen to the question, because I want you to hear what I'm asking. What do you want on your walk to school today? I care about what you want. What do you want on your walk to school today? And she said, well, I really want you to walk with me. And I said, great. I'll get out and get my walk in. I said, don't you worry about this, work will be here when I get back. It's always there for me, you know?
It is.
But if I would have been like, okay, no worries. And so I think that when we don't share our hopes, our expectations of other people, if I would have said, oh, okay, well, thanks, kiddo, and done my work, you know, her little heart would have been sad walking to school, right? But I'm really trying to work with them on answering the question and looking inside themselves and thinking, what do I actually want in this situation? And I tell them, I can't promise that I can always give it to you. But it's really important for me to know what you actually want.
I think that's a really good example and a really good strategy for handling that, mm-hmm. especially with kids, because as they get older, the I don't know and the indifference is going to happen. I think that's just kind of teenagers mm-hmm. through 40. And once you hit 40, folks, you know what you want, and it's mostly cookies, but that's okay. That's for another day. I think when you have those things, it's, you're showing the person like, look, you're valued. Let's unpack this. And it helps them to communicate what they need, because as kids, if you get that programming in early enough, right. they will be able to say like, I would like you to do this. And you don't have to match it every time, because at some point, if you keep matching those requests, suddenly it's going to be, well, why can't we go to outer space this weekend with these people? And you're going to be like, because it's $1 million and all this yeah. stuff. So there are limits to all that stuff, of course. But at least when you know what kind of the boundaries that you're playing within. And that's a really important thing.
Yeah, I think we all like push our needs aside very often, you know, to try to make things easier for other people and things like that. And one of the big things we teach in 5-Year U is we have, you know, a whole episode on how like being selfish is not a bad thing. Like it is okay to check in with yourself on what you want, what you expect out of other people. But you have to let other people know, because we can't read minds, you know?
Right. Well, at least some of us pretend like we can't, just to fit in with everybody else. I'm just kidding. So let's kind of talk about some healthier ways to face disappointment. So, you know, your coffee's wrong, or you lose your job, or anything in between or beyond. One of the first things that we would recommend that you do is just feel it fully. Allow the disappointment to set in at the time and place. I mean, if you don't, it's going to build up, and it's going to come out on the wrong person, or it's going to compound. This isn't an expansive thing that happens inside of us, right? You start feeling bad about something, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then suddenly you take it out on the barista for misspelling your name on your cup. And really what you were disappointed about was, you know, your team losing, or the kids mm-hmm. doing something this morning, or something else that's happened. So when you can, try to feel it fully and find a way to release it. There's some great tools for doing that. Just taking deep breaths, going for a walk. Lots of little things will help dissipate that energy and help allow you to process it in a faster way.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite things that you say, and if you're a longtime listener for the show, I'm just going to say Andrew didn't make this up, but he probably has no idea where it came from, because he That's likes accurate. To misattribute quotes. He always says rejection is protection.
It is.
And so when you're disappointed because you didn't get the job, didn't get the role, didn't buy the tickets in time, you know, you got ghosted by a dude on a dating app or whatever. Rejection is protection, people. It doesn't seem like it in the moment, but the universe, God, whatever you believe, is always at all times like trying to help you live the best life possible, live a life with love. And so lots of things get, you know, blocked to protect us. We just don't know why at the time.
Yeah. I think with rejection's protection, I think it's kind of reframing it too. So, you know, if you go out on a date with a woman and she never calls you back, you can look at it and just say, you know what, there's somebody better for me. And this is, mm-hmm. this is the best thing that could happen to me. I just can't see it now, but I believe that someone better is coming along. It's also going that, you know, I think a lot of times where our brains are programmed to look for disappointment or for what's wrong. And as we do that, we have to remember that we have to shift our brains to look for the positive in things as we do that. And you start with the little things, right? You start when you get the wrong coffee and going, oh, well, I'll try this new thing to see what it's like, rather than getting mad and being personally offended that you got the wrong thing, or you go change it and advocate for yourself. But it's just getting that compassion to yourself and being allowed to reframe it and go, yeah, this isn't the way I wanted to, but it doesn't make it bad. Maybe something better is coming along. Maybe, you know, maybe these cars have to be in front of me so I find a new route that works for me. Maybe this person has to leave my life so I can find somebody better. That's just part of life, and that's okay. Yeah. But when you have that attitude towards things that something better is coming, that's way better in life. You just wake up feeling a lot better about things rather than wondering if you're going to be disappointed today.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I mean, at the end of the day, you can always return to your core values, meaning you can always make sure that you comfort yourself and that you're a friend to yourself. So you say, I didn't get this thing that I wanted, but I'm still a good person. I'm still the person I was when I woke up this morning. I still have friends and family. I'm still known as being kind. I'm still a hard worker, even if I didn't get the job, got laid off, whatever. I still, the outcome that I didn't get doesn't define my value as a person.
Yeah, that's really good. Kind of more with the reframe too. I think another one is to just be curious about the event. Yeah. Like if you don't make the movie that you're supposed to make, because the tickets are sold out or whatever, instead of getting angry and upset that the plan didn't go the way you wanted it to, you can embrace that and go, I wonder what's going to happen now. Or I wonder if there's a different movie that I could see that might even be better than the one I had intended. Maybe there is something that I'm meant to do right now. Having that open awareness to things and that openness to possibility beyond your expectation is what's going to delight you the most in life, because that's when the universe can step in and go, oh, great. You're willing to receive more than what you just want. Here's some cool stuff that you haven't thought of yet. And that's really what, to me, that's like probably the best reframe you can do with disappointment after you've processed and everything. Is just be like, I wonder what the good in this is. I wonder what this is an invitation to that I can't see yet that's going to show up.
I love that. I think that those are really good. And that sums it up pretty nicely.
Yeah. So do you want to move on to the glimmers? Is that the time?
Sure.
Okay. So let's start with you, Kat. What's your happy, shiny moment this week?
I've had a lot of happy, shiny moments this week. Again, I said I was in a May-cember, and Wednesdays are like my busiest day. Like I'm bringing kids all over the earth back and forth. I mean, it's just like my busiest day. But today, my daughter has a orchestra concert. So all of the 8 million back and forth between tennis, ballet, and getting dinner and all this stuff, everything is erased because there's a concert. And so that's my glimmer today, is that my busiest day got narrowed down to just going to one thing that's super close, and I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. I love that. I love that for you. It's nice to get a reprieve from all the busyness of the day.
Like, yes. Wednesday it is. How about you?
My glimmer today is my daughter's graduating grade 12, and she's got a fashion show tonight. So I'm getting to go to that, and I offered my son to go. And of course, you know, boys don't usually like to go to fashion shows. So he's actually going to go fishing for the first time this year, which he's been like just craving to do all since, you know, November. Yeah. So, and this is May that we're recording it. So he is just, he woke up excited. Uh-huh. And I'm excited for him because it's just that cool thing. It's fun to get excited for your kids and what they go through. And it's also nice to know, like, you know, this is the start of the summer, and that is just so nice. So yeah, as we go through May-cember, we wish you the best.
Yes.
Actually, by the time you get this, May-cember will likely be over by the time we go live with this. So we hope you survived, and we will see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.